What's up and welcome to the Single Player Experience, the podcast that helps single player gamers manage their video game backlog. I'm your host, Sebastian Malden, and my main quest is to help you manage your ever-growing video game backlog by letting you know which single player games are worth your time and money so that you can have the best single player experience. This episode is the Single Player Experience Weekly Recap. This is where I batch together all the video games that were talked about during the week into one episode that you can get every single Friday. Now, let's start the show. DJ, cut the beat. So as I walked up to that yellow wall, the gateway that I'd become so familiar with, I knew in every fiber of my being that I was probably about to die. How did I know this? Because I've walked through that door before. Tons of times, actually, and every single time, I've died. It's like I'm stuck in this loop. Over and over, I walk through that gate, and death meets me on the other side. I've probably gone through this exact moment 50 times, and you know what the crazy thing about this is? I love every second of it. That is the magic of the game that I'm going to recommend to you today. This game is a single-player experience that came out this year in 2022, and it's a game that I think you should be playing, or at least have in your video game backlog list. I'll be honest, I've never quite gotten why people are in love with the Soulsborne games. I didn't see the appeal of a genre of games that takes pride in being hard for the sake of being hard. That is, until I played Firm Software's Elden Ring. Many people in the gaming industry are calling this game one of the best games in the last decade. Here's the story of how Elden Ring hooked me. It all started because of a boss fight with Margit. Margit the Fell was beating my ass like I was a deadbeat dad, and he was a single mom that I owed child support to. It didn't matter what strategy I used. I kept seeing that dreadful "you died" screen every time I went up against him. So I left him alone. I went to go see what other things I could discover in this big open world. So I did that for a while, mowing down enemy after enemy and having a good time just messing around in the world. At level 48, which is way stronger than the last time I squared off against Margit, I decided I was ready to face him again. He is, after all, the first boss in the game. So I went back to that familiar yellow gate, ready to return the favor for all those whoopings that Margit put on me. I stepped through the portal, and wouldn't you know it, he beat my ass again. But this time it was different, because this time I got close to victory. So I tried again, and this time I slayed Goliath. And it wasn't even close. I was doing circles around him. I felt like John Cena because this man just couldn't see me. I know that line was corny, but I couldn't help myself. Anyways, as my longtime foe was vanishing, I realized that this is the magic of Elden Ring. It's the journey, plus the feeling of accomplishment when you finally do overcome an obstacle. After 50 hours of playing the game and only defeating one boss, I can honestly say I get the appeal of Soulsborne games now. So, now you know why I really like Elden Ring. So is this game for you? If you're looking for a game that you can get a lot of hours of, one that you can get joyously lost in, and a game that has tons of replay value, then I'd highly recommend that you play Elden Ring. For those of you who don't know what Elden Ring is, it's a fantasy action RPG made from Firm Software Studio. These are the same minds and creators that made the popular Dark Souls series and the cult classic Bloodborne. The difference between Elden Ring and those games that I just mentioned is that Elden Ring isn't a linear, mostly straightforward action adventure that its predecessors were. No, this game is a massive open world full of rich lore that was created by Hidetaka Miyazaki and the creator of Game of Thrones, George R.R. Martin. In Elden Ring, you play as the Tarnished. It's a label that you quickly discover is a very bad thing. The Tarnished are a class of people who were brought to this land and given the task of rising up the rankings to the role of Elden Lord to restore peace and order to the world. That sounds good and all, but it's a tall task because you start out at the very bottom of the food chain. If you played and enjoyed the previous Firm Software games, then you'll be right at home with Elden Ring. If you're new to these type of games, or, like me, rage quit on a previous one, then just know that you're in for some punishment. A lot of punishment. Let's talk about the gameplay. In Elden Ring, you can strike and attack in a number of different ways. For example, you can use archery, magic, spells, spears, and even summon monsters to help you vanish your foes. That's just scratching the surface. There are tons of ways that you can build and design your character to fight. Even more important, you can also dodge, block, and parry attacks. In this game, being good on defense is a must because everything in this game wants to kick your teeth in. The gameplay feels really tight and fun. Depending on how you play, the action can be fast and fluid or slow and more methodical. Like I hinted to a couple of times before, this game is difficult, especially to newcomers. However, even when I died, I feel like it was on me as opposed to the game just feeling cheap. This feels like the most accessible firm software game that we've ever gotten thus far. Let's talk about the story of this game, the map, and the lore. One of the things that makes this game truly special is its astounding open world and its astonishing map. What's impressive about this map isn't just how large it is. No, it's also impressive because of how dense the open world is. Around every corner, there seems to be something else to discover. It could be a new piece of lore, or it could be a dungeon with its own boss for you to defeat. In a lot of ways, it's just like Zelda's Breath of the Wild. The game's biggest achievement is the freedom of exploration and discovery. Instead of tons of map markers that you see in other games, Elden Ring leaves it up to you to find what the world has in store for you, for better or for worse. I really want to shout out how refreshing it is that this game is the whole experience that you pay for. It's not trying to sell you more with microtransactions or use toxic gaming trends to try to squeeze more money from you. This is the full game. And what a hell of a game it truly is. Elden Ring gives you so much to do and so much to see. It's so impressive how this game gives you so many different types of enemies to encounter, from different sizes and shapes to the different abilities that they hold. Every single enemy presents its own unique challenge. And even the new enemies that you encounter that look similar to ones that you encountered before present themselves in a different manner. They have different skills and give you a different obstacle to overcome. It's not an understatement to say that you can legitimately get yourself lost into this game. So, no game's perfect. So, let's talk about some of the flaws of Elden Ring. One of my biggest flaws of this game is the way that Elden Ring tells its story. This feels like a game where you have to hunt down the narrative as opposed to the traditional way of storytelling. It feels like a huge miss that this game has this detailed fantasy story that feels difficult to consume. Imagine if this story was told in a similar way to games like Horizon Forbidden West, The Last of Us, and Ghost of Tsushima. The immersion would be on a whole nother level. Another flaw that I have with this game is the game's systems are a bit cumbersome to learn. Once you wrap your head around them, it becomes second nature. However, the game introduces a lot of information to the player at the very beginning of the game, and it could have done a better job of explaining the gameplay mechanics. Overall, despite this game's flaws, I get why a lot of people consider this game to be one of the best video games in the last decade. It has so much for you to do and explore. It's rich in lore, enemy variety, and customization. The boss fights are frustratingly challenging, but it's so fulfilling when you overcome them. Elden Ring isn't going to be for everyone. If you don't like those hard, challenging bosses, then this game isn't going to be for you. If you're not an open world gamer, this isn't going to be a game for you. If you don't want a game that's probably going to take you 80 plus hours or more to beat, then this game isn't for you. For everyone else, you should definitely try Elden Ring. Elden Ring is a single player experience that gamers will be talking about until the end of time. I'm giving Elden Ring a 9 out of 10. This is a single player experience that you should definitely check out. In this show, we practice the 10 games backlog rule. In this practice, you log 10 games down. Those games are your video game backlog. To be as productive as you possibly can be, we recommend that you only play 3 games at one time. One single player narrative game, one game that's going to be your chill and relax game, and another game that's going to be your palate cleanser game, which is a game that you play when you're not in the mood for your other narrative game. When you complete or get tired of one game, it leaves the backlog list. Then you decide which new game is added to the list and which game on the list advances to your active 3 games. So, I'd definitely recommend Elden Ring be your single player narrative game, your primary focus, or your narrative game that's going to be your palate cleanser game when you're not in the mood for your other narrative game. Depending on what type of gamer you are, Elden Ring would fit perfectly in either spot. Now let's talk about the next game we talked about this week. As I put the finishing touches on this potion, I felt the weight of responsibility that was on my shoulders. For you see, if I made this potion correctly, then I would save my patient's life. If I didn't, then the people here would run me out of town and I would be forced to use my abilities for the dark side of the force. Or, you know, break bad and maybe start cooking meth. So, it was safe to say that I had a lot riding on this moment. I bottled up the potion and handed it to the patient. Thankfully, the bar maiden would live to serve another beer. This is a moment that I experienced in the indie game that I'm going to recommend to you today. I'm going to lightly review the game and explain who should add this to their video game backlog. So, here we go. You ever thought about channeling your inner Professor Snape and becoming a potions master? Or maybe you wanted to go out and fight creatures and harvest resources from the land. Well, in Potion Permit, you get the best of both worlds. In this live sim action RPG, you play as the village chemist. You are assigned by your guild to a small island town called Moonberry, where you quickly discover the town treats you like you're the Grinch because of the negative past that they've had with chemists. Well, it's up to you to gather resources and heal the townsfolk from various diseases while also defrosting the cold shoulder that everyone's given you and unveiling the mystery that's going on in the town. The main narrative of the game unravels as you go around the town doing fetch quests for people and earning everyone's respect. Every mission reveals a piece of the overall mystery. It's a nice touch that every character in the game plays a part in one way or another. Let's talk about the gameplay. This is a life sim game that showcases a different loop from what you normally see in this genre. Every day you diagnose any patients that are sick and go out and hunt resources like plants, wood, and stone, and you also fight monsters to use as ingredients for your potions. To heal someone, you brew the specific potion that cures that illness. To create and brew a potion, you have to solve a puzzle. Each ingredient is a Tetris-style puzzle piece, and you have to correctly fill in the shape that they give. It's not hard, and it kind of helps to prevent the game from feeling boring and repetitive. Speaking of the characters, I'm impressed with the way that the developer Mass Hive Media made every character in this game stand out. Everyone in the town had their own style and personality that feels really unique. It's a nice touch that really helps immerse you into this world. They also give you the ability to grow your relationship with the characters by giving them moon clothes. It's a traditional gift that the locals really enjoy for some reason. The game also gives you the ability to romance some of the single members of the town. No judgment here, but if you're one of those people who like to get their swerve on in video games, this game is going to be right up your alley. Let's talk about the game's visuals. If I was given an MVP award to one aspect of the game, it would be this gorgeous pixel art style. There's an impressive amount of details in everything you see, from the monsters you fight to the regular items in everyone's house. Even the most mundane things in this game have an incredible amount of detail to them. I often found myself stopping playing the game and just staring at the art style and the impressive visuals of the game. No game is perfect, so here are the flaws of Potion Permit. First, it seems like a missed opportunity to not have unique gifts that would raise your relationship with each individual person. A part of the fun of games where relationships are involved is discovering which gift matches the personality of each person. Because that feature is absent here, it kind of feels like it's missing a little bit of that personal touch. Another negative that I had with this game is that it gives you the option to upgrade your home, which is a cool feature, but outside of the cauldron and the clinic, it really didn't provide me with any bonuses for doing such. Why would I risk some of my money and spend all my hard-earned money to do those upgrades and not get anything from them? Similar to Stardew Valley, this game features its own day and night cycle. You're given a certain amount of daytime to get everything you want to do done. Unfortunately, the day cycle always feels really short, and I get it. Just like in real life, there's never enough time in a day, but the daytime here feels too short, if you get what I'm saying. Overall, Potion Permit might be the most underrated indie game of 2022 that you haven't played yet. The gameplay is fun and deep enough to prevent quick boredom. It also mixes that classic Zelda RPG gameplay really well with its fun Tetris-style puzzles. Its story is a little hit and miss and might be on the bland side for a lot of people, but the game itself is so well-rounded and solid that you don't even have to think about the narrative that much. If you're a fan of old-school adventure RPG games and life simulation games, do yourself a favor and check this game out. I'm giving Potion Permit an 8 out of 10. Hey everyone, in this show, we practice the 10 games backlog rule. In this practice, you log down 10 games. Those games are your video game backlog. To be as productive as you possibly can be, we recommend that you only play 3 games at one time. One single player narrative game, one game that's going to be your relax and chill game, and another game that's going to be your palate cleanser game, which is a game that you play when you're not in the mood for your other narrative game. When you complete one game or kind of get tired of it, it leaves the video game backlog list. Then you decide which new game is added to the list and which game on the list advances to your active 3 games. So, what spot in your video game playlist would I recommend that you have Potion Permanent in? I would recommend this game be in your chill and relax spot or your palate cleanser spot. It's a good game to kick back and relax to when you aren't in the mood for your primary narrative game like God of War, The Last of Us, Elden Ring, and Horizon Forbidden West. I think Potion Permanent is perfect for that chill and relax spot. Now let's talk about the next game we talked about this week. Here I was in another life or death situation, knowing that if I failed, I was going to die once again. I dodged to the left, barely avoiding the bandit's sword. I responded by bringing my axe down on him. My axe hit true, and he instantly fell. I gathered up all the resources in the room and exited to the next one. I quickly made my way to the portal in the middle of the room with a smile on my face. It was a good run, a good hunt. I got plenty of supplies and new followers for my cause. I took the portal back to my base and I looked around. My camp was a well-oiled machine. My followers were in high spirits and working hard to grow our camp. Wanting to make sure morale stayed high, I got to work preparing lunch. Today, everyone was getting a big helping of a little dish I like to call grassy gruel. Not gonna lie to you, morale gets lower every time I serve this dish. I can't blame them. I don't like to eat salad either. But it's all I have at the moment to feed everyone, and sometimes you have to make the hard choices. That's my job. For you see, I'm the leader of a cult. I know it seems like a rough job, and to be honest, it is. Hell, I had to throw Willie in jail the other day for talking back to me. It's a hard job, but I'm the only lamb capable of doing it. If I do it well, these followers will make me the strongest warrior in the world, and I'll never have to worry about dying ever again. So, that is a story from a game that I'm going to recommend to you today. You may have guessed it, it is the indie sensation known as Cult of the Lamb. In this episode, I'm going to lightly review the game and let you know who should have this one in their video game backlog. So, I never thought I'd play a game where I'm a lamb and a maniacal cult leader. I also never thought I'd play a game where you're taking down dungeons all the while leading a cult full of cute creatures to achieve nefarious goals. Yet again, here I am, and honestly, I can't get enough of it. Cult of the Lamb is like a weird blend between games like Moonlighters, Animal Crossing, and The Binding of Isaac, and it's a mixture that works really well in this case. Cult of the Lamb is a fantastic, addicting game. It might be one of the most addicting games I've played this year. It has this weird supernatural bind over me because I really can't stop thinking about my cult and what actions to take next, and I want to make sure my followers are good, and more importantly, that they're making me more powerful. So what is this game I'm talking about? Why am I raving over it, and why does this game have me obsessing over it? Cult of the Lamb is a 2D roguelike fused with a village simulator game. You play as a lamb who's the leader of an evil cult that's trying to unleash a dormant god upon the world. You build and craft a village for your cult to grow and thrive in, all the while you go out and you take down 4 dungeons and try to take down each major boss within each dungeon. Each of these dungeons will give you resources to help you take care of your followers and make sure that they are well fed and living in a clean and growing environment. Low-key, this is a demonic version of Animal Crossing and a fast-paced roguelike dungeon game all in one. Let's talk about how the gameplay works. How does the game feel? Does it respond well? Does it compare to some of its other contemporaries in the roguelike genre? Let me answer those questions. The roguelike gameplay feels swift, it's fluid, easy to control, and it doesn't feel too hard. The environments and the way you move across the world is very reminiscent of the game Moonlighters. The action here feels a little more crisp and zippy, kind of like Hades, which is really good company to be a part of. In Cult of the Lamb, you have to face 4 major dungeons, which feature 4 major boss fights and rooms that are randomly generated. You start off each run with a random melee weapon and a random ranged spell at your disposal. From there, you select your path. You get materials and followers and even upgrades in your journey to the boss fight. Even though the gameplay is really fun, there are a few things I didn't like about the roguelike side of the game. For starters, I really don't like all the weapon types that are available. Some of them feel way more fun to play than others. Some feel like they're really bad to control. I really wish that all the weapons felt as fun to use as opposed to being a bummer when I got a certain weapon type. Because legitimately, there are certain weapons that you get that feel like, eh, this run is not going to be a good one. But I feel like that's few and far between. Once you get really good at the game, you can kind of make it work to the best of your abilities, even when you get stuck with a not so good weapon type. Overall, the gameplay is surprisingly simple with a bit of complexity, just like Moonlighters and a bit like Hades, and it's so much fun to play. On the flip side, the game is surprisingly deep as a village simulator. As a village simulator, you can create things like lumber mills and stone mines, all the while you can assign your followers to work each one of these for its resource. You can also create gardens for your followers to gather food. You can assign your followers to pray at your altar to make you stronger and strengthen your village as a whole. The game also gives you the ability to decorate your village in a ton of different ways as you unlock and progress in the game. The villagers themselves have their own personalities and their own goals and dreams that you have to kind of see and adhere to. By the way, the more villagers that you have, the more powerful you become. But, as Uncle Ben once said, with great power comes great responsibility. For you see, you have to keep each one of your followers happy. If your followers think that you're weak, or they see through some of the stuff that you're doing, or if they're genuinely unhappy with you, then they start to rebel against you and speak out against your will. Unfortunately, I had to lock up several of my homies to keep the camp from dissenting against me. You also have to instruct your followers by giving them jobs and things to do, and clean up after them. Especially in the very early stages of the game. They poop everywhere. It's ridiculous. As the village grows, though, your members become more self-sufficient, and then all you have to do is focus on keeping their faith in you really high. The higher their faith in you, the easier it is for you to level up. The easier it is for you to level up, the more stronger you become. And when you become stronger, it becomes easier for you to take down each dungeon. It's a loop that really works, and honestly, it's very addicting. This game is extremely fun, but to be honest, it does make me a bit uncomfortable at times. I love it, don't get me wrong, but the game rewards you for being evil to your village members. I got too attached to them to do some of the most evil actions to them, even though I knew it would make me stronger faster. So I took the slower route and tried to find that nice middle ground. Don't get me wrong, I'm still an asshole, but at least I have lines that I won't cross. The level of freedom that they give you to dictate and rule the way you want is really what makes this game so compelling. You can be as evil as you possibly can be and get insanely powerful quickly, or you can still become strong by going a different direction. Cult of the Lamb is absolutely one of the best games I've played in 2022. It's a damn good roguelike game that's an even better village simulator. There's a few things I wish the game did better, but overall this is another banger from Devolver Digital. This game with its demonic vibe and tone won't be for everyone, and that's completely understandable. However, if that doesn't bother you, then you should check out this game. Be warned though, Cult of the Lamb is an experience that likely will be your next video game obsession. I'm giving Cult of the Lamb a 9 out of 10. So, those are the video game recommendations of the week that you should consider adding to your video game backlog list. If you want me or my community of gamers to give you feedback on your backlog list, then join us in the Single Player Experience Discord server. Once you're in, feel free to share your backlog list or talk about good single player game experiences that you've had lately. The link to join the free Single Player Experience Discord server is in the show notes. This has been the Single Player Experience Weekly Recap episode, where I break down every single game that was talked about during the week. It comes to you every single Friday, and I hope to catch you next Friday for the next week's recap episode. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you in the next one. Peace.